I'm Tommy Gimler. Looks like Louisville basketball players were partying and having sex with girls, and now they could be facing NCAA sanctions. Call me crazy, Tishon, but doesn't that sound a lot like going to college?
I'm Dutch McTavish.
There it is.
The gang at Thrill List released, well, a list of most obnoxious fans in the NFL, and the Green Bay Packers somehow made the top 10. Sounds to me like this list sucks major bear.
And I'm the fabulous Tishon, and this evening, ribbed for your pleasure, much like a Louisville basketball recruiting party.
The Daily Updecker, nothing but sports and crap.
All right, guys, welcome back. Dutch McTavish, Tishon back for what? It's the third week in a row, I think. This is some kind of record.
If it is, I'm the greatest.
And in celebration of that, I think I can think of no better way to than getting this to get this dud cast started than with a fart from Mike Ditka.
Excuse me, I was from Philly, but they got rid of me, so I'm going with the Giants.
Well, see, the Giants.
That is real.
It's amazing how much that works on you every time. We've been rehearsing since God knows when today, and there it is. Every time it's worked on you. And
it smells like one of his Italian beefs, but
I said on the dud, it probably Chris Carter could probably attest to this, that it tastes like a mix between coleslaw and Polish sausage. That was juicy.
Have you had a Ditka's Italian beef? They're delicious.
I think somebody in craft services got fired for that one. You could see him as Chris Carter was like talking. You could see him like he could feel it coming on. And as like a 76-year-old man, you got to be a little more worried about it, I think. Like if you're in your 30s or 40s, it's like, here comes a fart, no big deal. But as a 76-year-old man, it could be like, this could be the one that gets a million hits on YouTube.
I disagree, Tom. I've got diapers on at that point, and I'm just going to let her fly.
Dutch McTavish being sponsored by Depends. Tony Siragusa and Dutch McTavish, the only two who proudly wear male diapers. I like that. But yeah, I think somebody in craft services, hey Jimmy in craft services, whatever you served Coach today before Monday Night Countdown, yeah, don't ever fucking bring that again.
I think the problem was he was off diet. I think he was having like something exotic, like the Dover sole, you know, with like baby carrots and a purple arugula. And I think that's what threw the coach off, because he's like, I'm trying something different.
I need some meat
and
some fried shit.
And then I think it just fucked up his innards. Sometimes that happens to me. You know, you try and eat something healthy instead of, you know, a diet of whatever isn't good for you, and then boom, there it is.
So if you're keeping score at home, that's Coach Dick. That's two for him since he's been at Monday Night Countdown. He's also fallen asleep on the set as well. So.
I made some tacos tonight, so let's party.
That sounds like a hot mess. That is a perfect seg into the hot mess. Way to go, Dutch. First up here in the hot mess.
The hot mess.
The Michigan State reacts. If you guys didn't see this, then I'm disappointed that I have you guys on the show. Michigan punter Blake O'Neal spoke to reporters for the first time today since fumbling away the ball and the game at the last second to Michigan State on Saturday at the Big House. What do you think, guys? Was it the most heart-wrenching loss in sports history?
What's weird is, unfortunately, I was tuned into the Memphis Middle Tennessee State game.
It's amazing what money on the game will do.
And so I don't even know what this is. What happened? No, I'm just kidding. If ever there was a play that really did catch the announcers off guard, this might be the most catching the announcers off guard play of all time. Like they were counting down the game. They were talking about the parties that were happening in Ann Arbor.
There was a Grand Rapids news reporter who had already gone out and it went live just so they could be the first one in Kalamazoo to announce that Michigan had beaten Michigan State, and he's out there live saying they are filing out behind me here and they are celebrating in Ann Arbor.
They were counting it down for like a lot of time.
Right.
It was kind of amazing. Well, and you know, obviously radically unexpected that such a fluke play would happen, but just goes to show, best drama you can see on TV is still in sports, in spite of any of your conspiracy theories.
Right, it was a good script. Yeah. It was a great script this Saturday. And I think the craziest part is what makes it, I honestly was trying to think just off the top of my head. I'm sure I could Google and look it up, but I don't want to. Just off the top of my head, I think what makes it the most gut-wrenching or heart-wrenching like loss in the history of at least college football is the fact that it wasn't like they were lined up for a Hail Mary. Usually if it's like a Hail Mary, you're like, hey, there's a chance that they can catch us. I've seen it before. I've seen it happen. I've never seen it where the punter fumbles the ball, tries to pick it up and still kick it and fumbles it like or like tries to kick it and just hits it right into the arms of a Michigan State player who's able still at that point to run 40 yards down the field without being tackled. There were still so many ways, like if you're a Michigan fan, where you're like, oh, that's right, they'll just tackle him, bring him down, bring him down, bring him down.
And even if that motherfucker gets hit, like, on the one-yard line, right? Like, and he could, like, you're watching, you're like, oh, my God, is his knee going to – no, his knee did not go down. He broke the plane. But I will
argue. He also broke his knee into the turf.
No. I was just going to say, I think what everybody is missing here is that when they piled on top of him, he now has a dislocated hip and is out for the year.
Probably for his career.
Probably for his career.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah, it didn't work out too well for Bo Jackson when he got a dislocated hip.
They broke the man that won the game.
They were trying to lift him up. They were like grabbing him by the front of his.
That's going
to
be the next 30 for 30. They broke the man that won the game.
Breaking down the man who won the game.
Yeah, and they're going to have a whole recruiting story about that kid, and he's probably banging people in fucking Louisville. Before he came to Michigan State, but I will argue that the one that kicked the I believe it was the Alabama Auburn game where the dude returns the missed field goal.
Oh yeah, that's huge too.
About as unbelievable an ending as you could have fathomed, especially as powerful and dominant as Alabama was, and also the point in the season as well. It was
right,
more
and what was on the
meaningful.
Line?
Yes, exactly. Right. Like so, I would like, and that's amazingly. That's only just a couple of years ago too. Like
right.
Know. So I would argue.
Agreed.
There are some other plays that may rank in this realm, and this one, though an enormous matchup, like you know, Michigan had already lost a game, and so having a great season and it's a good revival under old khaki pants there,
Jimmy Harbaugh. Yeah. I think someone who wasn't broken by this was the punter Blake O'Neal, who in like today's day and age, back in the day, all you would do is you get a call in your hotel room or in your dorm saying like, eat shit, I hope you die. That's it. But nowadays with social media, like right away, it was so bad. Like the shit that he endured, like here were some of the tweets that he got, at Blake O'Neal, go to the equipment room and start chugging that bleach, my friend, jump off a cliff into a pool of spikes and cyanide, which is really. That's uncalled for, right? If you jump into a pool of spikes, is cyanide necessary?
And is that actually also having had the bleach?
After the bleach? Yeah, I don't think you're going to be able to jump anywhere. Speaking of pure shit dickery, how about that 4th-and-3 play the Colts went through on Sunday night?
Down
27-21 with 1:14 left in the third quarter. Chuck Pagano came up with some trick play that looked like it was going to go about as well as telling your wife you're fucking her sister. Yet an even worse decision was made the next morning when the Chuck Pagano Show asked listeners to tweet questions for the coach. That, too, did not go so well. So let's talk about the play first. Dutch, why don't you chime in here? Talk about – you saw the play, right?
I did.
All right. So you played football. You played football in Wapaka, fine football town of the Wapaka, Wisconsin. Did you ever see anything like that while you were in your playing days?
Well, thank you for mentioning that. It is now 29 years in a row in the playoffs.
Ooh. Wow.
Yes.
Good times to be a Comet.
Yes, it is.
Although in the Wisconsin playoff system, all you have to do is like go 5-4.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Which,
and people fail to mention that Wapaka a lot of times win games because the other opposing teams, they can't field the team.
Right.
Sorry,
the weather's too shitty. Can't
we had we had
field.
Soccer, cross country, and football tonight, and unfortunately, everyone chose cross country. So,
cross country is big in Wapaka.
It is. All right, talk to me about this play.
So as far as I could tell, the third string tight end was snapping to the punter,
right? Or the wide receiver.
Yeah, and
Griff Whalen. And it just sounds like a guy you want to pounce on. Like fucking Griff Whalen, man.
I feel
man.
Like he's the kind of guy, like a sort of a douchebag we might see in the pile who goes to like an Ivy League school. But I digress.
Isn't this play called The Swinging Gate? And it failed miserably. But had it worked, we would be sitting here saying, oh, that's the most genius call by Chuck Pagano. I can't believe the Colts won this game. And
I don't understand. And you could even see Chuck Pagano afterwards saying, why did you snap that?
Right. But so is this piling on to Chuck Pagano? So is he really going to lose his job now because of calling this play?
Well, there were, I was listening to some sports talk radio, and a lot of guys were saying, like, this is him trying to lose his job. Like, he's trying to do it. Like, he just wants out of there so bad. He's probably, you know, he's probably, I mean, how many times does he probably go into a meeting with Jim Irsay, and Irsay's just fucking shithoused, and Pagano has to sit there and just deal with it, especially, like, after a loss? It's probably a lot like a wife in Green Bay. When you're winning, everything's great. You go in, he's jolly, there's dancing girls, everybody's in there. It's
cheese
great.
At the it's, end of every day. It's amazing. Galore.
It's amazing, right? But it's like when you lose, you go in there and you have to deal with that drunk asshole. And I think he just wants out. I think he wants to be coach for you know, he wants to be the head coach for a team that has an owner that is somewhat stable.
Dude, I've just never seen an astonishingly deliberately called play of I mean, it's hard to fathom
right
where that came from. Like, as it's setting up, you feel like, oh, there's something genius in the mix here.
You did right? When you saw like, it happening, oh, you're like,
and then there's three motherfuckers sitting, there's this, you know, the guy snapping it, old Griff, and then the third string tight end, is that what we're saying?
So it's whoever it was. So for starters, somebody, so the guy who was supposed to be hiking it.
And the other team's like, nah, they're not going to snap it, are they?
Well, let's just look at it this way. This is a great, I don't even know what the word I'm looking for is, but just goes to show how well the Patriots are coached.
Right.
Like,
right.
They are not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe. It is like... No, you stay on your guy, and then my friend's going to come over here, and I'm going to stay on this guy too. And if they pull some shit,
you know that there were Colts fans never going to happen. Yeah. Or like Colts fans in the stands too, who saw this happen. They're like, I like it.
Yeah, they're probably
pretty excited.
But you know, yeah, no, Belichick was definitely like, I'm going to take that banana, I'm going to flambe it, and make bananas foster and eat that shit on your ass.
So some of the tweets the next morning were priceless. When it was like, you know, hey, it's the Pagano Show later on today at 6 Eastern. Tweet at Pagano Show and at 107 the fan, and ask him some questions. So the first one was, you were working on that play for a year. For a year, in all caps. Did you ever consider spiking the ball on fourth down like the Rutgers quarterback? Chuck, what smells worse, Grigson's ass or Irsay's breath? What was the least amount of yardage lost when you ran that fake punt play in practice? Did you think that Anderson could get a pass off before the Patriots defenders got to three Mississippi?
I mean, no.
I thought it was a good play, but I'm also a Patriots fan.
I really find it's among the more, like, you don't even call that when you're like fucking out on the yard and there's no defense. You're like, nah, that's probably still not going to work against nobody.
Other than the seven guys lined up illegally, the quarterback not expecting the snap, and Waylon needing to block three guys, it looked okay. In your opinion, can jet fuel melt steel beams? 9/11 truther gets a question in there. What defensive coordinator job are you most interested in next season?
Certainly not special teams.
Good job. Now you've got me agreeing with the real Skip Bayless. Hope you're happy. And of course, at the very end, hey, what's your favorite Dolphin movie? So that was
The Hot Mess.
You guys tell me. More disturbing: Playboy no longer putting nudie pics between their pages, or the Seahawks 2-4 start to the season? Tishon, start us off.
I did prep for this section.
Yes, good.
I'll go with more disturbing is the Playboy. I'm sorry. Like, I mean, the Seahawks. The Seahawks have been very fortunate to go to two consecutive Super Bowls, which is very, you know, very rare in the modern day NFL. So, I would say, like, and they've lost a shitload of players, or perhaps to use a well coined term from our last segment, the shit dickery of the off season. really fucked the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. And so the Playboy thing is honestly the most upsetting. That might be the most upsetting news of the whole week.
Dutch, what do you think?
Onion said it best when they said, regarding Playboy, new magazine offers astute literary criticism. Titties. So I'm going to have to agree with Shawnee here. It is much more disturbing that Playboy no longer puts nudie pics between their pages because, frankly, the Seahawks should be 1-5. They're 2-4 because of a blown call on
Detroit.
A Monday Night Football
yep.
game.
Yeah.
And this is what happens when you trade away your all-pro center. And that's, you know, you
coming from an offensive lineman as decorated as Dutch McTavish. I think it's great.
But watching their offense too, like to further that, it's their line, and we just spoke of some other shitty line play with the Colts, but like they're not getting it done either. And
Russell Wilson's been sacked like 1,000 times this year.
He's
crazy.
Most sacked. He's one mm-hmm. of the most elusive, and their offense is kind of a joke. It's him running around, buying time. Throwing it to whoever,
and
like
that is
a bad plan.
And this is also why Playboy no longer putting nudie pics between their pages is more disturbing. Is that the fact that the Seahawks are 2-4, and there are some games in there, you know, that they should have won. They had big leads. However, they have San Francisco on the schedule twice. They're going to go.
I think they're going to lose on Thursday night. I think San Francisco's going
to
win.
A lot of times when they go to San Francisco puts up a good fight in San Francisco.
Well,
but
and they're going to probably – they've probably had enough of being a fucking team of shit dickery.
Correct. And yeah, it was obvious last week. They played a great game. But then they're also – they've got Baltimore, Minnesota. They've got Cleveland on the schedule. So it's not necessarily a lost season yet. So, yes, not being able to see nudes in Playboy, like why? Why go?
Let's
goes beyond this season. I think that's the real loss. They were the first to do it, and then through all the years of naturalness and mega bush to the times of today, like it's been a wonderful, wonderful story.
The joke has always been I read it for the articles, and having been a subscriber to Playboy, I did read the articles. They have some of the best writers doing articles for
them. What's wrong with like seeing a chick?
Nothing at all.
It's not like there's a piece of shit on her chest like in Hustler.
I worked on Playmate videos for almost three calendar years, and it kept me afloat for a long time.
In more ways than one.
Yes, and everybody the people that I worked with would be like, no, you get used to it. It's not that fun anymore looking at naked women all day. I'm going to tell you right now, it's that fun.
It must be.
It must be. I have no problem looking at naked women rolling around on a piano or silk sheets.
Wear a cup when you're on set.
No.
Wear a cup.
Yeah, you gotta keep that shit in there. You can't.
That's not gonna hold me in.
One of the best jobs I ever had was working on Playmate videos. And
I'm just saying, you don't see Larry Flint panicking at times like this and like asking guys to stop shitting on chicks' chests in his pages. He's going all the way to the end. While he's still alive, there will be.
You're going to see the inside of some vag in Hustler.
Yes, you will.
No one says I just read Hustler
for the articles.
But Kelly, you're forcing me to get serious here before my third scotch here.
Are there any articles in Hustler?
But it's what made Playboy such a unique experience is that you got the lovely ladies and the fine photography, actually. And then you got the quality articles.
It was just a
unique experience to have the Playboy magazine, and now it's just like it's just run of the mill bullshit. Like they're actually going to be behind a magazine like Maxim,
mm-hmm.
who's really evolved their craft on the. Not
well,
quite nude.
No,
or even if you
no.
see like the site that I write for
Max,
Mandatory. Check it out, Mandatory.com.
I hate this comparison between Playboy and Maxim because it is like a Camaro versus a Ferrari. So one is Maxim is all bros, all college, very geared towards college, whereas Playboy is very geared towards – the professional male who...
Cigarettes against cigars.
The distinguished, sophisticated man.
Yes, exactly.
Who loves tits and ass as well as a fine, reputable restaurant visit.
I'm gonna mark a note here that we could go. We might have to do a bracket of like 32 nudie mags and just see which one is the best. But we got to move on.
Barely
here, guys.
Legal. Come on.
More here in NFL Week 6 rapid fire. More concerning, the attention that the Kardashians are getting while Lamar Odom slowly dies, or the fact that Peyton Manning looks older than head coach Gary Kubiak on the field. Dutch McTavish, start us off.
I could care less about the Kardashians. I would like to give a shout out to my boy Lamar.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see you on the court in 2020.
Right? Having the wherewithal to pay in advance for, what, 5 days at the Bunny Ranch or whatever? I mean.
Nah, always pay ahead.
Yeah, attaboy, Lamar. You know you're going to be
like
there.
An all-inclusive resort.
But no, again, I don't care about the Kardashians. Here's my favorite part of it all is Dennis Hoff, the owner of the.
Love Ranch. This is the Love Ranch.
Of the Love Ranch.
Yeah.
His quote was, "Everything is normal. He was sleeping fine during the night." So, hey. He was going to bed at night. Good for you, Lamar.
Right.
I wish you. I think he took a couple steps today. So, you know, he'll be back just after the All-Star break.
Not to be insensitive to Lamar Odom's troubles, but I am more concerned about Peyton Manning's playability and the fact that I might actually rather have Gary Kubiak in there throwing passes. You know, back up to John Elway long, long ago.
Tishon, as a Bronco fan, do you think that they're just kind of hiding the fact that they're going to be the most explosive offense ever when they get into the playoffs, and they're just sort of, you know, we'll sneak our way through the regular season,
right?
And then when everybody comes up, all of a sudden Manning is back to being 28 again.
And Emmanuel Sanders is healthy, and Demaryius Thomas is healthy, and everyone's there. Like, hey, let's not put C.J. Anderson out there right now. Let's save him for the postseason.
Here's my concern about this. And I love a good conspiracy theory, but whenever they need to go score, they move down the field.
One pass, Emmanuel Sanders.
With relative ease.
Best pass he threw all day. Yep.
You guys missed a few drives, then. That's all I'm saying.
Well, no, because I saw a bunch of them, and I think that he's probably good enough.
You guys were on the Red Zone channel then, because that shit was like, there was some iffy motherfucking shit going on with the Broncos.
No, he's
offense.
Never thrown a nice ball. Who cares?
I believe he had 11 interceptions
saying,
last
and I,
game.
And like, I think Tommy can go along with it. So his arm strength is gone. I mean, he's got a broken back. So what? But when the Broncos need to move down the field, they go. And they go as fast or as slow as they need to, and they score, and they keep winning. And, yes, their defense is
good. In Cleveland,
good.
In Kansas City, he's right, whenever they need it, against the Vikings when they were losing. Were they losing to the Vikings? Or
yes.
It was tied, I think. Yeah, it was.
And I don't know. As
I agree. I agree with Dutch. As a proud conspiracy theorist, I agree with him here.
And here's the thing. Like, this is a lot due to sort of lowered expectations based on the way the offense is performing. Like, it's still kind of easier for me to watch for a long run vision of the Broncos. Like, no, you know, all the record setting years, and there was even in the record setting year, there was the controversial one touchdown that put Peyton the most at, you know,
right,
like,
against Houston. Yeah.
Yeah, there was like all this, like, and everything was like, the offense is so fucking good, and it always just drove me mad. And so I much prefer having the unbelievable defense. And then to your point, if that happens, if we can somehow start clicking, if for whatever the reasons are, the clicking starts happening.
In that division, they have to go 4-4 from here on out, and they're going to win that division. They're going to be 10-6.
Well, thankfully, like, you know, the Chiefs turned out to be abysmal, and of course, with a terrible injury to their best player.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, so that helps out. The Raiders, some had thought that they would be better, and they're pretty much the same. They look hopeful, but still losing the same amount.
And the Chargers have absolutely no running game. It's Chargers, crazy.
Yeah, no, it's just like 60 times a game. Like,
guys, we're halfway done with the podcast here, and it's a little too serious. We're going to liven things up a little bit here. We're going to loosen it up. Loosen it a little bit.
I was from Philly, but they got rid of me, so I'm going with the Giants.
That did it for me.
The Hot Mess.
All right, guys. I've been trying to delay the inevitable, but we're going to move into into it right here. T'Shawn wants to talk about this because it's a way to get Syracuse basketball to look not as bad as they have. Ladies and gentlemen, we're moving on here in the Hot Mess. It's the Louisville escort and partying scandal.
Right. Like, if you haven't heard enough of this, I mean, obviously, if you've watched an ounce of ESPN or
right,
read
it's because
articles,
ESPN is the one that's driving this story. Right. Like,
this is my problem with it. So this is part of my point, and not that I, you know. My irritation is that Syracuse is included in this particular discussion. As they mention, our fabulous coach, Jim Boeheim, and the penalties he's personally and the program had to partake in due to, you know, he's lost wins and he's like, he's down like 100 wins for no fucking reason. But that was a 10-year investigation, right? And they've somehow roped in all the Hall of Fame coaches in college who've ever had a problem. They're like, well, this is just a giant problem like that. I'm like, nah, man. This just so happened to have one woman who documented some scandalous shit that invariably happens at any school below the Mason-Dixon line, you know, as far as recruiting goes. Like, those Southern schools, you know.
And above.
And above, too. You're right. You're right.
Well, let's party.
Well, no. It's like it happens at every school. Let's face it. All these things, all these infractions, the educational ones, the non-educational ones. But, like, it's just I find it's a travesty that they're trying to, like, package it all as one big old thing. And they include all the players. They try and make it a bigger scandal than it really is. Mind you, this does sound fairly. It's fairly intense.
So I don't mean to cut you off, but
no,
I don't get me off. I don't get where the. So is this like a prostitution thing? So they are paying for sex, right? Or no, they're paying for them to show up.
The school basically like paid the escorts to show up. And
no,
then,
I thought, was it the school? I thought it was the assistant coach.
And right. Well,
who,
Andre who McGee, who is
who,
a representative.
Who represents
who knows
school,
where he's
right.
getting his money from. But if he's using the school credit card, like you can either give.
It's a booster
you either,
thing.
Yeah,
like
you,
Friday
you
Night
either
Lights,
give
I
the
think.
Kids their per diem and, you know, buy them meals today or.
Get them some bitches.
You bring over some escorts. But I want to see where this is an NCAA violation, having sex, consensual, whether it's paid for or not. I'd assume that these women didn't say no. They're not saying that they're being raped or anything, are they?
No, they're making money.
Yeah, no.
Right. I think
is this an NCAA violation? It's, okay, it might be a moral violation, but probably not in Louisville. I've been there once. It's fun. I don't see what the big deal is.
What they would probably file it under is the fact that the escorts were giving deals that weren't available to all students.
God damn you, Title IX. Yeah.
Can't get this on your supercard.
So I can't find right away while we're going where it's an NC, whether or not it's an NCAA violation. I think the biggest issue here is that they actually hired an escort who could read and write. And she decided to write a book.
She has really nice
handwriting.
And
that's all this is. This is a girl who wrote a book about these parties. If you think these parties and this shit's going on at just Louisville, then
you haven't been to Florida.
Wake up, bro. Yeah,
no,
exactly.
Very true.
You haven't been to Florida State. You haven't been to any of these colleges, Texas, anything. This happens at every school. It's been going on for 100 years. In 1917, you don't think they're hiring choice, like, escorts at any of these schools, at any of these programs?
Oh,
this has been going on, and this has been going on forever. So the fact of the matter is, this is the deal. And Bill Simmons came out with this on his podcast a couple of weeks ago when he started doing podcasts, is that ESPN sees a story. They see a story that they can report on, and people will listen because it's morally, like you said, it's morally wrong, right? So this chick's got a book coming out. she wants to push her book. So the publicist goes to ESPN and says, boy, do we have a story for you. Right? So now that's all ESPN is going to push. Whether or not they paid the girl money to get her on there and like have an exclusive interview with her, I don't know. I don't know if that's the case or not. All I know is that this shit goes on everywhere. And there's probably an Andre McGee, who's the assistant coach. There's probably an Andre McGee on the Syracuse program. There's probably an Andre McGee on the Wisconsin program. I don't know if it's Andre McGee. It's probably Jack Ryan.
Yeah.
But it's
still Ron Dane. Hey, you want to?
But anywhere you go, you see this. You see small stories pop up like this all the time, where recruits are like, you know, they're encouraged to come to the campus, and they use booze, and they use women, and they use everything, money. They use it all. It goes on at every fucking campus. So this is a non-story again that is being pushed by ESPN.
I don't agree.
The girl has a book. It's coming out, and it's the publicist and everyone getting together. Say, let's make a story.
I just want to say Anthony Michael Hall's film, Johnny B. Good.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Is a documentary.
No, it's a documentary.
I don't fully agree that nothing's been done wrong and I don't think that's entirely so. But
why are you spending their lunch money on this?
So what would you say? What would you say, Sean? If all of a sudden it came out that like Jim Boeheim, like it wasn't necessarily Bernie Fine. Bernie Fine wasn't molesting ball boys. He was actually like paying the ball boys to go out and get choice pussy for his players. Then would you be that upset about what's going on at Louisville? You know that this goes on at every fucking college.
Look,
acknowledge that, right? I'm sort of agreeing with you because I think that this is right. Like they built this into this every time they try and make it into this mega story about like how strange, unusual, and wrong this feels.
Right.
And it's like no, everyone knows about this. However. My original point, you know, was just my source of the upsetness was just, you know, that they try and make everything the same, right? Like they try and drag in everyone else that's also been kind of foolishly scolded and penalized.
Right.
And
so like, in the case of Syracuse,
this
where
is
it's
even
the same thing.
It's not even the same shit. Like what they got blamed for was not the same shit. I'm sure this happens. I mean, like. Ooh, everyone loves golden pussy, man. But it doesn't matter if it's like
people taking classes for players or like players just right. You know the system that's run through. It's people been proven that it happens at every fucking campus.
If you got to get your game right, you're not concentrating on your free throws. And let's be honest, you got to nail those fundamentals are going to win you an NCAA championship. Look at Wisconsin last year; they made it to the championship game on fundamentals,
free throws.
Yeah.
Frank Kaminsky looks terrible in the NBA.
Yeah, no, he probably will.
He looked terrible anyway, but he was better at basketball.
But if you got to go out searching for your own poon, there's no way that you're going to be concentrating on basketball. So do it right. You know what? And history 312, horses in bluegrass, is not an easy class. And you got to take that as a Louisville basketball player.
As well as...
I mean, fuck.
As well as fine wood.
There are two different kinds of bluegrass.
Name them
and describe them.
We're going back three minutes here, but I'm really glad that you brought up 1917 because Gerald Ford, U of M alum,
yes,
notorious poon hound, he loved some ankle. So, sorry to go way back in history, but...
You want to see your ankles?
I'd love to see your ankles. Hello.
That'll be 25 cents.
It's getting a little too serious here again, guys. We're gonna
I was
need
from
to...
Philly, but they got rid of me, so I'm going with the Giants. Don't see
the Giants. Yeah, every time. Every time. All right.
Did they actually like acknowledge that?
That Chris Carter did. If you saw his face, he's like, what? All right, guys. Hey, let's move in here. Move on. Should we do the Thrillist? You want to do it? Let's do the list of the most obnoxious fans.
Chili-stained fuckers from Minnesota. That's all I got to say.
Oh, look out.
I just think that they did such a poor job.
You think it was too superficial?
I agree with doing the list. Like, hey, let's do the most obnoxious fans.
That's a good
fans.
List, right? Yeah.
So I think that the best way to do this is you go to each each stadium wearing whoever they're playing, wear the opposing team's jersey, and then find out who the most obnoxious fan is or the most obnoxious fan base, right? So I want to see where they have the Dallas Cowboys. And the reason why I bring this up, so in case you weren't listening to us or for some reason you just joined in and you're still listening, at the beginning we talked about the fact that the site Thrill List came up with a list of all 32 NFL fan bases, and they ranked them based on how obnoxious they are. So number 17 on the list is the Denver Broncos, which is probably right where they belong. But I'm trying to find out where the Dallas Cowboys are, because
where they have the Packers. You're both Packers.
The Packers were at 9. Now get this. They're at 9. Hold on. The ninth most obnoxious.
To me, it seemed like this list went backwards, and I looked at it.
No.
Because they were talking that they were saying that the Jaguars fans are the least obnoxious, and they're right. They're all sitting in that pool.
Yeah, but did you see them? Like a bunch of super tan Florida bros hanging out in the pool.
But that's not obnoxious.
That's obnoxious.
No. I'm saying obnoxious.
For a guy who's been to Florida as many times as you have, Tom, you're saying that's not like.
I'm saying obnoxious is when you go to a football game and you get hit in the bathroom. Like you get punched in the bathroom, you get shanked in the parking lot, right? In that retrospect, that's pretty obnoxious.
Oakland/San Francisco.
So
Philly.
San Francisco's number 11. They're number 11. Green Bay is number 9. And I've never heard of a story about a Bears fan walking into the Green Bay Packers bathroom and getting brain damage from getting the shit kicked out of him. At least not in the last 30 years. I've never heard that story happening. Happens on a regular basis at Levi Stadium in San Francisco.
So to your point, though, like I feel like they very superficially like commented on the fans as they might see them on TV or based on credentials of the team and the stadium and where, you know, what kind of city it is. And to your point, it would have been like more authentic had they visited and really experienced it, because I find to your point, which God, I hate agreeing with you, but it's like they didn't really get in depth enough to really assess the experience one might have as a fan for or against the team,
right?
As you are at the game. I mean, that should be, you know, with the tailgating, with the whole fucking kit and caboodle, right? Of the live experience. That should be the, you know, what you grade.
A Patriots fan went to the New England and Dallas game 2 weeks ago and got shot and killed. That's pretty obnoxious. And Dallas is number 3. Yet the New England Patriots are considered the most obnoxious fan base.
I don't disagree with their top 3, though. What is their top 3? You think
New England's number 1, Oakland's number 2, Dallas is number 3. That's
top
pretty good.
3 is very fair, though.
Jets are number 4 in the fact that they got so bad that Fireman Ed called it quits. Remember that? For a couple of years, Fireman Ed was like, I can't come back to this. Yeah, like, I'm sorry, I love this team.
He worked
but these fans are ridiculous.
Time.
So I would even bump the Jets up probably to like number 2. The Eagles, number 5. I could see that. The Eagles are number 5.
I think that's a fair top. I think the Jets actually are a little overstated. I think in the top, like the top 3, and you have to, like, I think you do have to, you know, I just, you know, gushed over your notion of like, oh, go to a game, experience it.
I think that's the truth, and take a GoPro, take whatever.
Also, the overall impression I think should also be taken into account. Like, Cowboy fans are everywhere, and they're fucking dicks. Just like fucking New England fans, they're the worst. They're loud. They have the terrible accent. They're like rude. Mm-hmm. You know, like, fucking fuck you, Tuck Rule. I fucking hate it. You know, I agree with that.
That has to be a factor, but the fact that you're a Broncos fan that jades you a little bit. Like when you're a Packers fan, and I've seen it at Lambeau Field, like a guy will walk in a Bears jersey, a Vikings jersey, a Lions jersey when you're playing them, and it doesn't matter. Like, you will like jaw back and forth, and then you're drinking a beer 5 minutes later. Like, fuck you, you're drinking a beer, whatever.
You really think it's that copacetic?
You're not fucking Wisconsinite. Slamming their head against the fucking ground and giving them brain damage.
Cool and composed, no way.
As a Wisconsinite, we pretty much just say, "Hey, your team sucks," or no. Because we end every sentence with, Or no.
Or no. Dutch, what about the Arizona Cardinals coming in at way, I mean, way up on the list? And when we went there and we watched a postseason game, now granted, tensions were high because it was one of the greatest postseason games ever played when the Cardinals beat the Packers in overtime. It was like 8,000 to 7,000. It was crazy.
What
was
second best football game I've ever been to, behind when Brett Favre played for the Vikings his second year and we throttled them.
Yeah, well, it was
that game in Atlanta, or I'm sorry, in Arizona in what was it, 2010?
Yeah, it was a year before they won the Super Bowl. Yep.
Yeah, 2009, 2010. Best game ever. And you know what? One of the best experiences I've ever had at a football game. Just hanging out in the parking lot in Arizona. They have
awesome.
A full-on mm-hmm. grass
were you area. Were you in the wave pool?
Yeah. 116 no, he's right.
They,
degrees.
They had their own tailgating out there where they have this grass section in the middle of the desert.
Everyone was lovely.
Until we lost, and I was in a Packers poncho, and I'm walking out, and people are just hitting me as I'm coming out. We're just like, just walk forward and go, buddy. Just keep walking. You turn around and take one swing, and everyone's going to fucking jump on you. It was just like the fact that their team won. But again, tensions were high. It was overtime. You're wearing the opposing team's.
The only guy that I was really afraid of that day, Tom, was the guy who had the entire face tattooed as a teardrop. I think he killed the entire prison. But
I think you're like that. That doesn't even count to me. That experience, like, come on,
right?
Like,
really? So I don't think they should be as.
You got a few like brush bys.
It wasn't brush bys,
as you're
dude.
Overdressed they were in a poncho.
Boom. It was just like, hey.
Why the fuck are you wearing a poncho in the middle of the desert? That doesn't make sense.
Yes, it does. It's pretty much Mexico, and I'm wearing a Mexican poncho. It was
January, dude. What are you talking about?
I bought the thing in Mexico. I'm in Arizona. It used to be part of Mexico. I thought I fit in.
Worked for me.
I thought I fit in rather well. So I don't know. It's a great list.
Bottom line, I think it's a stupid list. I think it's a great concept and poorly executed.
Correct. That's the best way to say it. It's a great concept, very poorly executed.
The subtleties of how they evaluated it are where it's lacking. Like if you saw the teams and you only looked at it as a list, you'd be like, oh, there's some legitimacy to this. But if you actually read their little write-ups, then you're like, eh.
No, I didn't. And you know what? Every team, okay.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Every team that they talked about from the NFC North. Oh, Minnesota Vikings are Midwestern nice. Packer fans are way too nice because they live in Wisconsin. Even the Detroit people are nice and they live in the worst city in America. And even, you know, Chicago is the greatest city and their people are wonderful and they love their Bears no matter what, you know. It all seemed really flawed.
You just have to go.
It wasn't experienced. I'm going to go back to your point again.
You have
to agree and all that.
You have to go into the Lions' den in each one. And then now you can make that list. All right. Speaking of going into the Lions' den, how about actually going into why don't you get your fucking spoon, the fabulous T-Shun. You're on the stand right now. Dutch McTavish, you are going to be representing these piles of shit. And literally – their piles. It's time for the pile.
The pile.
First up here in the pile, guys. This one I thought was hysterical in the fact that this is the third football team that this guy has been suspended from. So
I love that the fact his name is Moneypenny.
Yes, and that's another great aspect of it. The guy's name is Alti Tenpenny. Right? That is a great fucking name right there.
Great name.
Alti Tenpenny.
I'm not sure this man can do anything wrong.
Well, apparently neither does he, because he's gone from Alabama to UNLV to Nicholls State, and I don't know if there's anywhere lower to go. Right? You were at Alabama, UNLV, Nicholls State, and I don't know where you can go after that. But
Santa Monica.
He's suspended
College.
From the football team because he discharged a firearm on the Nicholls State University campus. It's now the third school he's been suspended from. Dutch McTavish, quickly defend your client.
I'm going to use the Green Bay Packer great Mike Pennell defense here, where he started at Arizona. He beat up his coach, got kicked off the team, transferred to Colorado State, beat up his teammate, and ended up at Pueblo Community College, where he was then drafted by the Green Bay Packers.
Mm. So stick with it.
I will have to give Mr. Tenpenny's stick-to-itiveness, thanks, Tom, the fact that
he's just trying
ultimately
to fit in.
Wanted,
Your Honor, he's just trying to fit in.
No, he's not. He ultimately wanted to get to Nickel State, and he finally made it there, and I think that since he has achieved his goal, he set out with a clear purpose. He achieved his goal. Alabama, sweaty, later. Nickel State, happy, loving, going to play here. This is where I need to be.
Do I
need to bring up that Billy Madison thing? In nowhere in your incoherent rant did you.
For me,
God have mercy on your soul.
For me, the math doesn't add up because he went to Nickel State and yet he's Tenpenny, which that just doesn't add up if you think about it. This is a thinking man's response by your honor here. But he doesn't sound like that good a guy. And I don't think he's taking school seriously.
That's one way to put it.
So,
Oh, come on.
Huh. Is that the ad? Are you playing the ad for the Jobs movie?
Well, I just want
to try and snuff my... Tenpenny.
So what about it? What
Life
about
in
Tenpenny?
Prison.
Come on.
All right.
Life in prison for
Life
Tenpenny?
In prison.
Your Honor, I think that sentence needs to be stayed because
Kelly,
he
just stop.
Use,
stop right.
He didn't
stop
use
right
the word
there.
Brandish.
Dutch, stop.
Mr. Madison, what you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber.
Is dumber.
For having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
And that's the way it should be ruled. All right. Very good.
So
I'm going to keep that one on deck. I don't think that's the last time we're going to have to use that one. All right, let's move on here, guys, in the pile. Matthew Lodge, the Australian rugby player, followed two women into a New York City apartment building and then told them, "This is the day you die." He was released by his team, but Kelly tried to save him from any hard time here.
Again, it's just like the media to misquote Mr. Lodge. This is the day you die.
Mr. Lodge, if that isn't a porn name.
The day you dye your hair the color it's supposed to be.
Oh, they cut him off. I like it. That one will get points.
It's a context kind of thing. Is that what you're saying?
Totally.
Context and editing. All right. Well, nothing worse than that.
Women were German tourists.
Who obviously love to dye their hair.
Is interesting. In reviewing this this case beforehand in my chambers, I really thought this was all about like movie trailer lines. It was like, you know, I thought this was like kind of a new line for the new 007 movie.
This is
not really.
This is the night you die.
Dun-dung, dun-dung, dun-dung. This is the day you die. But it's not that.
Christiana needed a hot oil treatment, and Matthew Lodge is a.
But what happened here? I don't even understand.
So he then all of a sudden, so the women ran into the apartment building. He followed them in. A guy came out and basically told him, like, "Hey, just go away." He beat the shit out of him, and that's when police arrived.
Hearsay, Your Honor.
Well,
we need a ruling, T'Shawn. The fabulous T'Shawn. Your honorable fabulous T'Shawn.
Yeah, it does require all of that. It's hard to know. I need a continuation because I don't feel there's any wrongdoing. I feel like.
So you're asking him to sober up. Which might take a couple of weeks,
next
apparently.
Time we
it
talk,
sounds like he's pretty fucked up
please
here.
Please be sober next we speak.
All right, okay. Moving on here in the pile.
It's New York City. Come on.
MMA fighter Jason Mayhem Miller arrested again for some mayhem here. This is a good one. Mixed martial arts fighter Jason Mayhem Miller was arrested Friday following a confrontation with an Orange County Sheriff's deputy. Deputies responded to the 34-year-old's home in Mission Viejo following a disturbance call around 1:30 a.m. Let's keep that in mind. Yeah. Responding deputies heard a female screaming from inside the house. When deputies entered the yard of the residence, they said they were immediately confronted by Miller. Deputies said Miller threw a ceramic tile at them and threatened them with a fire extinguisher and a metal pole. So they had to use a taser on him, and eventually they got him into custody. But anyway, he's being charged with assault with a deadly weapon on a peace officer. So that deadly weapon, Your Honor, a ceramic tile.
Your Honor, since when has it been against the law to beautify your bathroom? The ceramic tile was being used to update my client's shower. Mr. Mayhem was, and continue to will be, registered as a... as a lethal weapon because he is an MMA fighter.
Madison, what you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
And by the way, you have a nice bathroom too. Don't you want Mr. Miller to have a nice bathroom?
There's strong... your argument, first, is eloquent and powerful. And I may hire Mr. Jason Mayhem Miller to redo my bathroom.
Done.
For free.
Interesting. Yep. This is why we get such high ratings here in the pile. Moving on here. Lamar Robbins and Benjamin Cox. Both South Florida football players were charged with firing a gun on campus. But wait for it. On separate occasions on different days. On the South Florida campus, University of South Florida on the campus. Two different days, two separate occasions. Firing a gun. Defend these guys.
Your Honor, I believe it was Hurricane Ivan that was coming, and the electricity had gone out. There were no more hurricane alarms, so the only way that they could get the people's attention was to fire their guns at the people.
Ooh. I didn't see it going here.
What's interesting is...
safety first at the University of South,
weather report?
South Florida, Your Honor.
What's interesting is that I've ruled on a case similar to this in the past, and this is more
gave him the chair.
This is more no.
Didn't want
to. No.
Just felt like he owed it to him.
This is kind of a form of communication. It's kind of like ancient. Native American smoke signals. You fire one gun once on a day, and then you respond on a different day. This is what I learned in a previous case, and it made a lot of sense to me. I mean, it is modern day. I mean, I'm kind of like the new pope. I've got to, you know, you can't just be living in the past. 16th century Catholics wouldn't dig today's pope, and much like 16th century judges.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Your Honor, we will accept 3 weeks as town crier at the University of South Florida.
That could be considered a rational thought.
All right, moving on here in the pile. DeAndre Porter. This is another Florida. You know, he's at the University of Florida. Another Florida player arrested for holding a gun to his pregnant girlfriend's head and accusing her. I read more into a different. It initially said at her head, but now it's just pointed in her direction. Nonetheless, he fired a shot at her while she was leaning up against the wall, all because he thought she was cheating on him. So my question is, at the institutions of higher learning in Florida, are they handing out guns with shoulder pads and helmets? It seems to be the case. DeAndre Porter firing a shot at his pregnant girlfriend because he thought she was cheating on him with one of his teammates. Dutch.
Your Honor, my friend Joey Greco from the show Cheaters was there, and no, he was cheating on her. Let him fry.
Yeah, Well, I think another lesson to learn here is never fire your gun prematurely. But he does seem guilty.
He's no longer with the football team, UF coach Jim McElwain said. During the SEC teleconference call Wednesday, he is suspended indefinitely for obviously a choice, his choice not to be with us. It's one of those things we obviously don't condone.
No, I think we should, I mean, as a representative of the law, not just, what is he on? South Florida? Florida?
No, he's on Florida. Florida, Gainesville.
All right. So, you know, he's a
this
Gator.
This isn't the quarterback, is it?
Oh, no. Though, well, what if it came full circle, though, and it was like Will Grier who was cheating on her?
Awesome.
Or cheating on it. That she was cheating with Will Grier, and that's actually his baby inside. Then is he reinstated?
That's a lot for this judge to process. But it's, I mean, I don't think this should be tolerated, in other words. And I banish him to Georgia.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's harsh.
Yeah.
That's harsh.
Not Louisiana harsh, but harsh.
It is. Yeah, it's all right, we have one more here in the pile that we need to talk about because apparently Seahawks running backs have had trouble a lot of difficulty driving here in the last couple of weeks. Derek Coleman, not that Derek Coleman, Tishon. This is the deaf Seahawks fullback who was arrested after ramming his vehicle into the back of another and then fleeing the scene. And a special note here, do not go easy on him because he's deaf.
I'll pretend I didn't hear what you said.
Your Honor, the King County Fair is everyone's favorite time in the Seattle area, and this was the Demolition Derby, and my client was participating in the Demolition Derby, having won it, and the loser being upset that my client was deaf. Anyway, it was a demo derby at the fair. Nothing to see here. Dismissed.
Our judge has no idea how to rule on this.
You don't even need to speak. Just say dismissed. See you later.
So, that's your bringing end to the pile.
Let's see if the Giants win, they're in first. If the Eagles win, they're in first.
The Daily Upper Decker, nothing but sports and crap.